Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for watching today. YouTube TV. my turn now to stampede all over you? Is that what it was?
No.
Okay. All right.
Saying hello.
Thanks for listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates in this hour. Warren Sharp on the program coming up in 30 minutes. What he likes early on in the wildcard round. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend. And we'll go over each conference here now, Paulie. Starting in the NFC. Let me remind people that in the wildcard weekend, dogs in the last eight postseasons, 27 and 15 ATS. That's 64%. You can eventually buy a yacht hitting 64%.
There's great numbers in this round. For years, my buddy Teddy Covers had pointed out you blindly play the team that played a better strength of schedule, and you were hitting a lot, hitting a high percentage. And also, Mackin will have it later in the week. The 6-3 games have been going under for years, how strong that's been. But this is a great time. Playoff game, two playoff games, three playoff games, Monday night playoff game. This is strong. And to think that not a lot of respect for the home teams. And our producer, Luke, looked it up. He said the Saints were 10.5 when they lost at Seattle in beast mode with the earthquake.
So same number here, and this is the early game. Now, what do we think about that? As the Rams played an afternoon game yesterday, Panthers with a game on Saturday afternoon, and the Rams had to fly all the way across the country to play on a Saturday. Somebody's got to do it, I guess, so it's
there's
maybe
a lot,
nitpicking here. But
there's a lot of West Coast teams making the trip out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See if that's a big deal. I don't like how they're playing. That was
tight early.
Brissett
was
cooking. Yep. Yeah. The fake punt got him. That was well executed. Boy, this is a lot of points.
It's a lot. I mean, it's...
What am I going to get out of Bryce Young, though? That's the thing. I mean, he had a bad year. He had one great game against Atlanta. Will the rushing attack be there? But, I mean, it's just going to be like this with a lot of games with the turnover battle. And who's able to limit the mistakes. And I would think the Rams, that first meeting was ridiculous. They just were getting whatever they wanted in chunks and chunks and chunks. But a pick six, an interception in the end zone, and still driving for the win, and then the sack and fumble recovery by Carolina.
Right. Now, if you take away those flukes, assume they're not going to happen again. It did just happen, though, when he played Atlanta last week. So there is that. But if it doesn't happen again against Carolina... Again, that's the same team that also went 3-for-3 on fourth downs. And I will remind you that Ted McMillan, who is a ridiculous number right now to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, which we're going to expand on in the next hour, he had zero catches in the entire game. Bryce Young hit him on a fourth down. That play was not designed for McMillan. It was designed for the tight end. Rams covered it. McMillan slid back, got open. Young recognized it, hit him with a beautiful pass. And that was your game winner, essentially. But the Carolina Panthers are not a good football team. Bryce Young's not a good quarterback, and they just have been, they won a really bad division. I wanted Tampa Bay for one specific reason, because I wanted to fire on Baker Mayfield to go over his rushing yards prop yet again, which cleared no problem on Saturday against Carolina. Bigger game, he's healthier now, and in theory, he would have been running a lot, and I believe that would have been the case, and I think the number would have been below 20 yards in the game, but we don't get that. Based on the Falcons winning that game yesterday.
Well, there's a lot of candidates, though, for these quarterbacks to take off and run. It's win or go home time. Look at Rodgers running for 20 yards.
Now, how about that? And last night, he couldn't pick up that. He didn't take off. He was tracked down. I'd never seen that in my entire life.
I was worried the guy had the angle on him and just and tapped out on it, but had the longer one later in the game. So Carolina plus 3 in the first meeting, the turnover differential, and still the Rams were in position to still win the game. So
yeah, I
gotta have Adams back, but so now you get Higbee back. Look at these tight ends.
I know
he's throwing to 3-4 of them.
That's right,
and they all scored. Three of them scored, or three touchdowns rather yesterday. So I just think too many weapons here, and they'll get what they want offensively. And it's up to Bryce Young to see if they can hang close and be able to score, which I don't think will happen.
Now here's the thing: if you like Carolina, then do you bet them right now at 10.5? Here at Circa, they're 10, but you can find plenty of 10.5s out there. Or do you hope the number drifts up a little bit? I do think there's going to be a threshold with sharp money that would not allow this number to go to like 13 or something absolutely crazy like that. So I think it's pretty much going to be 10. and maybe a little bit higher than that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm with you. I think that Carolina would be the play. Matthew Stafford, by the way, a bunch of these props are up. And you can go check them out at vsin.com/NFL props with the Opta AI projections. They are projecting Stafford to go over his passing yards prop by more than 20 yards, which is at 264.5 at DK. Big number. Big number for a playoff game. They don't have to try to win him the MVP anymore. Regular season's over with. If they get the lead, it's going to be probably a heavy running game, actually.
Carolina was also careless with the ball this year. Second most giveaways for a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dangerous recipe and a recipe for disaster if they turn it over Saturday.
All right. Saturday night, Packers are playing in Chicago against the Bears. Third meeting here again. And for what it's worth, again, it's make sure you shop around. Now, it's right around the money line, so in theory, not the biggest deal. However, if you want Chicago, you can grab +1.5. If you want Green Bay, you can grab +1.5. And that could also come into play with teasers as well. Circa's had a pick 'em on the game.
Does the luck factor continue? Number one team in the league in takeaways and in turnover differential. 33 takeaways, +22 turnover differential. They don't beat themselves. Williams doesn't turn it over. But I like the fact that Green Bay comes limping in. A lot of uncertainty here. Love it all this time off with the concussion. He could be rusty. And Ben Johnson just livid and outraged at his team for how bad they played.
Right.
And it didn't make any sense. But hopefully you get healthy and get some guys back on that offense, get Adunze back. And but this is tough. This is a tough game. And I think under 47.5 was the way to go early. But the last time they played, you know, they should have lost. That was over. It was 16-6, and then the Bears had the miracle. I would say a lower scoring game on under 47.
What would be, I know my biggest concern of the game overall would be the Green Bay health factor and how many guys they're down. Is there a bigger concern on the Bears side that would outweigh that, you think? I mean, pretty solid football team. Are you saying that just it's the luck of winning so many games like they did?
Man, how good are they? I mean, how many? 6 wins when trailing in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it was got to go back to the 40s the last time that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just if Love doesn't turn it over, can Caleb and the offense have enough drives to score without getting help? And do they have success in the red zone too? Because that last game, that wasn't that long ago. That was terrible. And and Sunday was terrible. It's not like the Lions have a good defense.
Right.
16-0 at home in a game you have to have.
Yeah.
Come on.
I would also, like, to me, I need to track the injury report pretty much the entire week. Because if Green Bay will be as healthy as possible, I'm going to like the Packers in this game. And then if they win, they'll play in Seattle, which would be a fascinating matchup. I know a lot of people would obviously expect the Seahawks to win that game. If they don't win, if the Bears win and the Eagles win, the Bears will host the Eagles, and then that means the Seahawks will get the winner of the Carolina Rams game. We could get Rams Seahawks in round 2? Oh, man.
They won't change it. I'm not going to keep crying about it.
So you have the Niners at the Silly. Eagles again, Philadelphia taking money. Yeah. How about this?
Is there a 4.5 now?
Oh, yeah.
4.5 at Caesars.
Yep. Plenty of 4.5s.
Oh, wow.
And the total at 44.5. There's a 45 out there as well. Opta AI stats at the website projecting Brock Purdy for 287 yards. His prop is 231.5. He's going to go there and dance all over this Eagles secondary? I'm not so sure. It was not pretty against the Seahawks on Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, I think to get Trent Williams back is big.
Huge.
That was enormous.
Yes,
that was a big loss that they didn't have him. So you also have Pearsall back. And then I still like what Nick said about a home field disadvantage, that they'll be all over their home team if they continue to struggle on offense and get off to a slow start. But it comes down to Hurts and that passing attack, which should have a good day, and they should be able to run the ball at will on San Francisco as well. No pass rush, pressure.
None.
They don't get after the quarterback at all, and if Salah's not going to blitz, it should be an easy game for Hurts. But still, Shanahan's an excellent coach, and I think we're getting a little carried away now that we're up to 4.5. San Francisco, though, as I mentioned earlier, worst team among these playoff teams, -6 turnover differential.
Yeah, I would say that if you're looking to bet a future here on a team to win the NFC, or if you want to get Super Bowl exactas, they're Carolina, no. The Niners, I can't get there because of the defense and the lack of a pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you, I can't get involved. Packers, too many injuries.
Well, how? I mean, just You score, it's 13-10 with 3 minutes left, right?
Totally different game. Yeah.
But then you're going from the one seed to the sixth seed.
Yeah.
One game, how important that is. And now, yeah, at Philly, at Seattle, look at what your path is now. Mm-hmm.
I would also draw a line through the Bears. I don't think they're good enough to win the NFC. So that comes down to the Eagles, Rams, and the Seahawks.
Well, it's great that these one seeds, though, they have issues. I mean, again, how bad was Denver's offense? How bad have they played and looked at times? And Seattle, number two in the league in giveaways, 28 turnovers.
I know the DVOA numbers that Aaron Schatz has put together for several decades. This Seahawks defense, now that the regular season has concluded, is one of the better. I think it ranks in the top 20. I can go back and look, but it's a very high-ranking defense all time for his DVOA numbers.
How do you feel about the offense? If I can get an average rushing attack, I can get Barner, Shaheed, JSN. I have an unbelievable kicker who had a poor performance. Yeah. Weird, right?
To me, it all comes down to the play of Sam Darnold.
Okay, yep.
And at this point, as a guy holding Rams futures, the team I would look at would be Philadelphia more than any other team. Like, what would Philly at Seattle look like for the NFC title game?
I think the offense is broken, and that's it. We have to accept it, and it's never going to change. And Petullo's done a horrible job, and there's infighting, and that's what it is.
That would be
all. And they're going to lose a low-scoring game.
That game would be alt-unders all day long.
Yeah.
Maybe no touchdown as well. AFC up next. May I remind you, this team has not lost in this spot since the early 1990s. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Warren Sharp on the program coming up in 15 minutes. Early look at the wild card round with him. Now we get to Sunday's action. AFC here in the morning anyway, out here. Bills are taking on Jacksonville, and Buffalo is a 1.5-point favorite on the road against the Jags. And the total in this game is at 51.5. This is going to come down to, a lot of people will point to just simply saying, give me Josh Allen over Trevor Lawrence. And I think it's much more complicated than that. The Opta AI stats at vsin.com, they have Jimbo Cook going way under his rushing yards prop, which is set at 83.5. They have him going under by almost 28 yards. That's the number one Opta AI rushing yards margin so far early on for these wildcard games.
As Waylon said, a back hasn't gone for 75 yards against them yet. And that's a big talking point for this game and a big focus. Can Cook get going on the ground? And again, the turnover differential and how well Jacksonville's been at takeaways. 31 takeaways this year. Number two in the league and plus 13 turnover differential. Third best out of these playoff teams. You got to expect a lot out of Allen because I don't think they're going to get stops. And this Jacksonville team, 8-0 straight up. An ATS run, and they are cooking on offense. And Parker Washington and all these guys getting involved, and Strange and Myers, that trade was huge. And I said it before, but it's worth repeating. Look at the point spread. It's going to be a close game, likely. And I have an unbelievable kicker who can hit from 68, no problem. 65, no problem. File that one away. That could decide this one, too. And Buffalo stinks on special teams.
Right.
Give up a lot of big returns, and that could be key in this game.
Josh Allen, 0-4 on the road in the playoffs in his career. Bills have not won a road playoff game in, I think, almost 30 years. And this is a team game. Quarterback, obviously, is the most important position. Now, he could be Superman because he has been that for many, many years in a lot of their games. But what does that mean? If let's say the numbers are right here,
right,
and Cook does
right.
not have a good game overall running the
right.
football.
And then it's 3rd and 7. Where am I going? Who do you trust?
Who's the guy?
Don't have one.
This would be, to me, this is a, my early look would be Josh Allen over rushing and receiving yards combined on the player prop. because he'll probably end up a huge game, right? And his rushing yards prop is going to be huge. But I also think there's an angle here where the Jags can pounce on them and get a lead, and that's going to force them into using Allen, you know, his legs more, and also like throwing the football a ton. But again, that's the edge in this game for Buffalo. It's at quarterback. Other than that, and Cook is awesome. Don't get me wrong. He's really good. He's better than Etienne overall. But as a everywhere else, when you look, the edge, I think, has to go to Jacksonville. You could say the experience with McDermott in the playoffs against a rookie head coach certainly could factor in.
I don't think McDermott's a good coach.
But what if Cohen's actually better?
It could be. I mean, he's had a lot of bad moments in the playoffs. Now, so
I said this earlier. I got to repeat it. It's actually
what if they lose?
Buffalo?
Is this guy coming back? And we're waiting on him, Todd Bowles, LaFleur.
I know.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
It's actually, I'm afraid of, and I haven't bet it yet because I'm cautious of how much I like Jacksonville in this game. Chargers at the Patriots, New England 3.5, total about 46. Now, how does this go, right? Because now Drake May gets to take on a pretty damn good defense. And we're expecting good weather here up in New England.
I thought it was going to be cold.
No, well, it's nothing really other than that.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Well, I like to be concerned about the L.A. guys out in the elements with the Sunday night game. This is a huge game for Herbert. Huge. He's polarizing. I love him. Football nerds love him. But that was a horror show last year. First quarterback ever to throw more picks in a playoff game than the whole season. And they blew the Jacksonville game as well. He has 13 games under 500 against teams with a winning record in his career. New England doesn't have a pass rush. He should be okay and be able to pick them apart and have success like Ewers was yesterday as well. But good defense. Can they get stops? And can they maybe force some New England mistakes? Maybe Stevenson, his ugliness rears its puts the ball on the ground. But I would look at New England first half. And this is a tough game, though, but I lean the Patriots. But I definitely think Patriots first half, I got to keep riding that. 16-1-1 on the money line. 13-0-1 last 14. 14-3 ATS. Well coached. Vrabel's done an incredible job.
Now, having said that, do you think there's a coaching edge in this game?
No.
Neither do I.
Both guys are excellent.
Right. This is a major step up in class that May is going to be taking on as a defense. Chargers were trending as one of the best defensive teams in the entire league for like a good couple of months almost.
Okay, it's a tough game. I would lean the Patriots, but this is just the facts. The Patriots beat one team with a winning record this
year. That's right,
yeah. One. That's nuts. But again, going back to legacy and all this, and this is big for Herbert. He's got to get a playoff win. I know he's had horrible coaches, but he also needs to look the part. I mean, how about you throw for 280 and a couple scores here and have a big game? Even if you lose, I can't kill you. But I want to see a big performance from Herbert here because he's a good quarterback, and I would look at both quarterbacks over their rushing yards, longest and total rushing yards.
The Monday night game, Houston at Pittsburgh, the Texans are laying 3.5 at almost every book I'm looking at right now on the screen. There's a 3 out there with minus 20 on the juice. Total here is 39.5, and this is the simple stat you're going to hear a ton this week. But the last time the Steelers lost on Monday Night Football at home was October of 1991. And that was a fun watch last night. Don't forget what happened with Pittsburgh last week when they took on Cleveland.
Yes.
And they could not move the football. Now they're getting DK Metcalf back.
Yep, that's where I was going. Is this silliness going to continue to work? Like the dump-offs to Gainwell, that shouldn't work. This stuff can't work against Houston, right?
No, Houston's too good defensively.
And they're also going to hit them and hit them a lot. So you can go shotgun all you want, but they're a ferocious pass rush here. But my counter is I don't like what I've been seeing the last couple weeks. The Raiders moved it on them, and what the hell was that? Riley Leonard's lighting you up, and Pierce lit you up before he got ejected.
Okay, if you didn't know any better and you only watched that game yesterday, would you not be telling people that Riley Leonard's been in the league for how long? Like, he looks like a good, savvy veteran quarterback.
You want a hot take? Did they cost themselves a playoff spot going to Rivers?
Rivers.
Kid looked good.
Well, I don't think, but they also had to take on Seattle and San Francisco, though, in those games. But he did. That's my point, is like, if you only watched him for the first time, you'd be like, okay, well, I like this guy. He's solid.
I can't believe the busted coverage and the long stuff to Pierce that was working. So
that's a little weird, man. Like, that stuff should have gone nowhere. And, oh, by the way, the angle that I like yesterday, so did you, so did Ryan Kramer here on the network, it was the Riley Leonard, like, attempts. Beautiful. 4.5 over plus money. There's a reason why they keep putting up big buildings out here. Nothing designed from the guy.
Well, he got in a rushing touchdown.
Oh, I know. But I mean, maybe so there. Okay. I take back nothing. Maybe one or two, but he only had 3 attempts the entire time. That was it.
I'm concerned about Stroud turning the ball over.
That's fair.
That's another one. He hasn't played well down the stretch.
And here's the intangible.
Outside of those two blown coverages to start the Charger game, he was awful in the last three quarters in that one. And I do like Hayward anytime touchdown again, which cashed 10-1 last night. And I would come back with that with the tush push, what they do with Hayward.
How much of the handicap do you have to bake in the goofiness of the Pittsburgh Steelers? It sounds silly to say it.
Or is it Tomlin can't win a playoff game going? What's the long drought?
Yeah. I mean, but in theory here, Houston should be able to handle this team.
Do you believe this? With the priest putting the holy water
on
right
that side of the end zone?
Where he happens to miss the kick.
Just, it's, again, the voodoo.
Yeah.
Can't explain it. It's as I said, if you want to do check marks, Jimmy the Greek, right?
Yeah.
Who has the better intangibles? Clearly, it's going to be in the favor of Pittsburgh.
All teams to score a touchdown, plus 120. Successful two-point conversions, over 1.5, plus 220.
I do not think every team will score a touchdown this weekend.
Okay. No. Overtime, plus 230. Out of the six matchups. Mm. Some of those are up already.
That could happen. You have how many games are lined within like a field goal? You have one double-digit spread every other game. 1, 1.5,
I
now 4.5, 3.5, 3.
Walk-off field goal. That's a good prop. I could see that.
You want to do any halftime, full-time results? Again, that almost got there yesterday, which would have been a big boy in the Houston Colts game.
Should have been, yep. Brutal.
So is there a team that you like?
No, that's the other one. That stupid Steeler thing came in too, of course. The
losing
Steeler
at halftime?
Special. Down at the half, win the game. 8-1, whatever that is.
I hated the decision by not kicking the field goal at halftime. Hated it. You're not pinning them deep.
Yeah.
Right? It's the end of the half, and you're going to get the ball back in the second half. And it's nothing's automatic because Boswell missed an extra point. So it doesn't mean he's going to make the field goal there as well. But it was just, potentially that game was going to play out to be a real low scoring game. And it did until the fourth quarter got absolutely nuts last night.
Let me point this out again, too. Bills, 4-13 ATS in the first half. Can't count two of them. It was the Jets. I mean, you take away the Jets, it's 2-13.
Wow.
Slow starts every single game. Profit X, number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on the college football national championship and Super Bowl odds. Huge holiday slate. Perfect time to get in and take advantage of the Profit X 20% match. Download Profit X today and experience the future of winning. Promo code VEASAN to get started. Download Profit X today. Experience the future of winning. 20% match up to $100 in bonus cash.
Seeing Josh Allen right now, rushing and receiving yards is up 267.5 combined.
Rushing and passing.
What did I say?
You said receiving.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Rushing and passing yards prop. Warren Sharp on the program, his early look of the wild card round coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Time now to go to the Progressive guest line. Warren Sharp joins the program. Follow him on X at Sharp Football. Website is sharp.football. All right, Warren, let's begin with this. I think as of right now, we have 6 openings for a head coach in the National Football League. Bunch of firings, as always, on this day. Anything surprise you? And who do you think the coach is that still has a job that should go, in your opinion, if anybody?
The thing that came the closest to a surprise, I guess I would say, would be there in Cleveland with Kevin Stefanski. But the writing was sort of on the wall. Like they were sort of angling towards that for a little while. I'll just say, of the coaches that were fired, I think he's got the best potential somewhere else. I thought that he was a decent coach. Obviously won coach of the year a couple times. Doesn't necessarily mean everything in the world. The one real knock against him was he couldn't really get Baker Mayfield figured out. And Baker Mayfield did end up having a little bit of success down there in Tampa for a bit. Obviously he's been banged up this year, et cetera. So struggled this year, but previously he did show some flashes for a couple of years and did not look as good under Kevin Stefanski. The other rest of the quarterbacks that Kevin Stefanski's worked with haven't really been good. So it's hard to really judge a guy under those conditions. Some of the other coaches that I think could be fired, or I wouldn't, you know, I'm never going to call for somebody's job per se, but Aaron Glenn, he was the guy who really was supportive of Justin Fields as QB one when pretty much everyone else in the whole universe knew Justin Fields is not a quarterback one. Aaron Glenn comes in as a defensive-minded head coach, can't get a single interception. Was it the first time in history where a defense doesn't have a single interception in a season? And we got that extra game this year as well that most of the teams did not have prior to this. So I don't really see all of a sudden like him getting – I don't see he being dealt a bad hand this year and all of a sudden he's going to get lucky and turn things around next year. I just don't really see him in that role. Another guy that I'll mention who's been there a lot longer, Zach Taylor. I just think that Zach Taylor, he doesn't bring anything to the table to me. You look at the games and you throw his name on the list of coaches like Harbaugh and like Tomlin. Okay, if we compare those three, they've been there for a while, all in the AFC North. You look at those three coaches, Tomlin has shown the ability to win with a variety of quarterbacks. I mean, they've had some dregs since Ben Roethlisberger, and I think only one of those quarterbacks actually has a losing record. We're talking about like Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph and all these other guys coming through, and they're winning games under Mike Tomlin. You look at Harbaugh, and when he's not working with Lamar Jackson, no, this team is not a playoff caliber team, but they're 10-16 in games that he's coached without Lamar Jackson. It's still not a horrible record. If you look at Zach Taylor in games without Joe Burrow, he's 9 wins and 30 losses. I mean, this team is hopeless without Joe Burrow. This is the Cincinnati Joe Burrows, in my opinion. Like, that is what they are. Zach Taylor doesn't bring anything to the table. Maybe I'm just a little turned off by him by complaining about the fact that we celebrated a player breaking the sack record and took a moment of time to do that. As opposed to just continuing play. After all, I mean, he's talking about this is a life or death situation, yes, and they were trying to hurry up. Buddy, what are you talking about? Your team's been out of the playoffs for a while now, had no hope. You went under your win total. You didn't meet any expectations this year. There's nothing life or death about it. Nobody literally died at all because you guys lost that game, and you wouldn't have won that game by going hurry up on that snap either. So that was pretty obnoxious, in my opinion.
Great point. You're active on social media. You're very good on this. I think all three of us are concerned about a ref show. I thought Brad Allen's crew was terrible. I mean, we've got taunting penalties 5 minutes into a game. They blew the call on Flowers right off the bat on Henry's long run. How concerned are you and how important are some of these referees' assignments for the playoffs?
Yeah, I went through. They just announced the referees that are being assigned to these games. First of all, I think it's a great slate of playoff games that we have this weekend. Really looking forward to the Thursday and Friday college football semis leading into this great triple header weekend of NFL games that they got going on. I guess they stopped calling it Super Wildcard Weekend. I might have missed the memo there. They started trying to call it that. They just decided not to anymore. But I think that this referee slate, there are a couple of games that stand out to me that I'm a little bit concerned with. I don't disagree with your Brad Allen comment. He is doing the Buffalo Bills at Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday afternoon, the first game of the day, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I guess that's Sunday morning for you guys out there in the desert. But Adrian Hill is doing the night game, Green Bay Packers versus Chicago Bears. He has the strongest tendencies towards trending towards unders this year from a referee perspective and also supportive of underdogs. So unders and underdogs have done really well in Adrian Hill's games. Although that being said, I mean, there's no real underdog in this game. I mean, 1 point here, then it flips the next day to 1 point to the road team. So it's back and forth type of fair pick'em game at a lot of spots as well. So it'll be interesting to see how these games go. Ron Torbert, I know a lot of people know a lot about Ron Torbert. He is doing the night game on Sunday Night Football between the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Chargers. He's done a lot of big games in the past, but a lot of people have strong feelings about his crew at times as well.
Yeah, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest is Warren Sharp. Follow him on X at Sharp Football. Website is sharp.football, and he's on the Progressive Guest Line. Anything catch your eye at this point in terms of where these numbers are moving? The Rams up to 10.5 against Carolina. You're seeing different books have the Packers or the Bears as the favorite overall when you look. The Bills are favored at Jacksonville, or now the Eagles taking money here on a Monday up to 4.5. against the 49ers.
Yeah, look, if we talk about the last game you just mentioned, the Philadelphia Eagles, tough situation, in my opinion, for the San Francisco 49ers. Normally, you would say that they've got an edge because they have 1 day of extra rest. Mm-hmm. After all, they played Saturday, not Sunday. But the Eagles rested most of their key players on Sunday. The 49ers were playing to try to secure a first-round bye and not have to leave Santa Clara at all through the Super Bowl unless they lost a game. Then they just go on their vacations. This is a team that had their hearts broken, literally, by losing to the Seattle Seahawks in a game that, though the final score wasn't massive blowout, it really wasn't all that competitive for large parts of that game. And now they have to go on the road this next weekend, and they've lost some defensive players in that game. And they're already a team that's been very beaten up and injured. Mm-hmm. Now they got to go on and take a, I mean, maybe the Eagles, who's the closest East Coast comparison to like the Seattle Seahawks? Like, see, Philly could be like a East Coast Seahawks almost. They've got a decent defense. They like to run the football. They've got a quarterback who can perform well if you build enough things in around him. And I think though the styles are a little bit different, I think the Philadelphia Eagles are definitely going to prove to be a difficult adversary for the San Francisco 49ers to take on here. And certainly the early line being set pretty strong in Philly's favor is indicative of that. And mm-hmm. the line movement that we've seen over the course of today from some betting groups definitely helps resonate that thought.
Warren, we have about 2.5 minutes left here. Do you have a strong opinion at all on anybody to win an award this year? Like, are you strong one way or the other on Stafford versus May for the MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach, any of the awards at all?
Not really on those. The one thing I'll take my time, you know, they do in the debates, I'll take my time and decide to just talk about something else. I do want to mention something as it relates to you guys out there in the desert with the Raiders and the rumor that Brian Daboll might come in and coach your offense okay. There. I just want to say one statement here about what Brian Daboll was able to do the last few games before he was fired. Do you know that the last 5 games before the New York Giants decided to fire Brian Daboll, he faced these teams, the Eagles, the Broncos, the Eagles again, the 49ers and the Bears. Where are all those teams? In the playoffs. How many wins did all those teams have? At least 11. And we're talking about some playoff caliber teams with playoff caliber defenses. And what did Brian Daboll do with Jackson Dart while they only went 1-4 in those games? Jackson Dart averaged at least 7.8 yards per attempt in 4 of those 5 games. He threw for an average of 7.7 across all those games. The league average this year for all quarterbacks is 7.0 yards per attempt. Rookies are averaging only 6.2 yards per attempt. He had Jackson Dart average 7.7 yards per attempt against 5 playoff defenses in his 3rd through 7th start. Dart threw 7 touchdowns, only 1 interception. That is the guy that I would want coaching up a young quarterback for me. Brian Daboll helped get Josh Allen on the right direction after a couple of tenuous years there in Buffalo. He was having to work with Daniel Jones, dragged him to the playoffs 1 year, did not have a lot of success after that once teams figured out what they were trying to do. Daniel Jones being a limited quarterback, worked with a variety of other terrible quarterbacks after that, Tyrod Taylor, Tommy DeVito, Drew Locke, Russell Wilson, etc., before he handpicked Jackson Dart and got some decent results out of Jackson Dart from an offensive quarterback performance standpoint in tough situations, the three of those last 4 games being on the road. So I think Brian Daboll makes for an excellent coach back in the NFL, working with a young quarterback potentially out there in Las Vegas next year.
Yeah, so my guess is, there you go, my follow-up was, my guess is that you really like the idea of Flores being the head coach. This is circling now out here, along with Brian Daboll as the OC here in Las Vegas. We're down to like 20 seconds here, but...
I wouldn't mind that pairing at all. I think they both provide punch and creativity on their respective sides of the ball.
Thanks, Warren. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Good luck, guys.
You too.
Warren Sharp on the Progressive Guest Line. Some teams have hope. Others do not. The good, the bad, and the ugly from this weekend coming up next. Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN. The good.
Pretty good.
I'm feeling pretty good.
The bad.
I've had it with this dump.
Got no food.
Got no jobs.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
And the ugly.
First of all, that's horrible.
Wow, that was the worst piece of crap I've ever seen.
All right, too good. Put a bow on the regular season. It was a compelling regular season with a lot of phenomenal matchups and great finishes to cap off what happened with the Ravens and the Steelers. One preseason division favorite ended up winning it. the Eagles. Fewest since they've done this since they went to eight divisions. Think about that. And it was the division where no one repeats with Philly and the big tickets that came in. And as I said earlier, what a strange season. Both one seeds have a negative turnover differential as well. You're talking about Bo Nix and Sam Darnold as the one seeds. Also, two teams with 11-plus win totals missed the playoffs first time since 2000. Kansas City and Baltimore, and Baltimore with their sky-high power rating vomited on themselves and blew it every which way imaginable and couldn't even make the damn playoffs. And also, good for bettors. It's good to beat up the books. All those moves, and we thought some of those lines were short, but the Rams from 7 up to 14, the Vikings from 6.5 to 14.5, the Patriots from 9 up to 14, the Broncos from 7.5 up to 15.5, double-digit favorites went 6-0 ATS yesterday. That's my good.
Yeah, I mean, I have the NFL parity in here as well. As you mentioned, the new division winners, think about this for a second, all four in the AFC. Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Denver, New England. Three of them in the AFC. I had that in my notes as well. The only one that didn't was the first repeat winner in the last 20-plus years. But to get the Bears, they were awful last year. So bad. The turnaround by Ben Johnson, incredible. Carolina won it by default, and Seattle to overtake both those teams.
I wonder how high that was.
What's that?
When Tampa was 6-2. What Carolina was to win the division at that point.
Well, it had to be a huge number.
That's,
I love this. Like, there's no Chiefs. They had a long enough run, right? They'll come back, by the way. They'll bounce back next year probably right away with Mahomes once he gets healthy. Like, their run's not over with. Just this year they happen to be. The fact that Baltimore's not in, I mean, that they were my number one power-rated team going into the season, along with many other people. Couldn't even make the playoffs. I think it's just completely up in the air, and nothing would surprise me about the playoffs. I love that. And Mike Tomlin has to be in the good. Look, I don't know how he does it. You don't know. Nobody knows.
No.
But I must say, no more mocking this guy next year in the preseason. It happens now. It's happened back-to-back years where he goes over the win total every year and they finish. Yeah, he does. It's awesome.
Satanic black magic.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It doesn't matter how it happens. The results get there every single year. Now, will they lose their first playoff game? Maybe. But it's like the most uncanny thing that you can watch with one football team. How much stuff goes their way. You've been calling the Bears the luckiest team all year.
Yep.
This team going back like 5 years has been the luckiest team in the entire league. My bad. If the Raiders make that selection and go with Brian Flores as their coach, Brian Daboll as their OC, and somehow can trade the number one pick for a ton of other picks and maybe a proven player, they might have some hope. If they don't, there is no hope. I would also throw the Jets. You want to talk about an organization with zero hope? Exhibit A. Look at that team.
At least they have draft picks.
They finally do. That head coach, probably going to be a disaster, and I'm going to guess, it's Woody Johnson and company, so he might last beyond next year. I don't know how he hasn't been fired yet today, but they keep going back to the well and saying, he's going to be fine, whatever. And the Browns have to be in the same mix. You just have to. They're never going to get it right.
Who wants that job? Because if I have to take Watson on, it sounds like it today. They're going to try to get Watson in there next year. Huh.
Are they not at the very bottom? At least some of these teams, like the Titans, have a little bit of hope. I think Cam Ward can play a little bit. Plus, no state taxes in Tennessee. Yeah. That might be a big deal. The Giants absolutely have hope with Dart as their quarterback and how that team is drafted specifically last year, but they have weapons. The Saints actually have a little bit of hope. How popular are the Saints going to be to win that division next year at the right number? And even though it was like as bad as anybody in the league for the last, 14 games, the Cardinals have some hope overall. Like, there is talent on that team, and if they get it right with the quarterback spot and they get some players back on defense that can be healthy, that team's not a complete disaster moving forward. These other teams, oh my God, good luck.
This is incredible what Garrett did this year. Cleveland was so bad, they faced the third fewest pass attempts this year. And he still broke the sack record. Think about that. But it leads me into my ugly. The Bengals and Zach Taylor. They brought him back. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but come on. You just heard Warren mention it. They're 9-30. Zach Taylor without Burrow? And it also sounds like Burrow's defeated. These bizarre press conferences, I'm not having fun. He didn't play well either. How many pick sixes are you going to throw, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're in complete control of that game. They're going to go up two scores. Cleveland can't get a first down. He throws another pick six, and then they give up another defensive touchdown. And Zach Taylor wants to cry. Oh, they didn't tell us they were going to stop the game when Garrett broke the sack record. I couldn't believe it. We wanted to go hurry up there, and we're life and death. What are you talking about? You've been out of it for months. You also punted 4th-and-1 from the Cleveland 45. What are you talking about? Give me a break, man.
Yep. I tell you what, if I'm the Minnesota Vikings, I'd be on the horn with this team immediately. Like, what's it going to take? And I'd be persistent about it. How many picks do you need for Joe Burrow? What else do you need? What other player?
Oh, they wasted it. They blew it. Between the offensive line and the defense and the injuries. He's getting up there in age. And can you keep Chase and Higgins together and all these guys? Yeah.
Also, Burrow, like, very injury prone.
Sure.
This guy is a hot run by Joe Burrow to get to the Super Bowl. He's clinging to that for the rest of his career.
I know, but who bailed him out, though? That was all McPherson that year.
And that was also the defense with Amarillo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McPherson got him to the Super Bowl.
My ugly, it has to be in the same division. It's John Harbaugh and the Ravens. This was a disastrous year for that guy. And it's fitting that it came to an end last night the way it did, in that fashion. He failed, along with the OC, to get the ball to Derrick Henry enough. This should have absolutely been a playoff team. That was a theme over and over and over again. And again, I pointed this out in the first segment of the show. He's a former special teams coach. Why did he call that play before the final field goal of the game last night? You had Lamar Jackson, with a timeout, go backwards 2 yards to spot the ball, rather than giving Derrick Henry the ball, running in that direction where you want the kicker to have it spotted, to maybe pick up 4 or 5 yards. Like, nothing's a gimme. Boswell missed an extra point earlier in the game. Aubrey was missing field goals again. So that's a 44-yarder in that stadium. Horrible job out of him. And it makes sense that Lamar, and how many open receivers were running uncovered last night by both teams.
Yeah.
But Lamar was the first quarterback in history with 2 lead-changing 50-yard passing touchdowns in the fourth quarter or overtime of a game, and still lost it overall last night. At some point,
it's not happening for him.
The guy's voice becomes stale in the locker room.
Yep.
I would say it's now time to look elsewhere than him.
Yep. They blew it, and they missed their opportunity as well.
With no Mahomes in the playoffs.
Oh.
Shame on them.
14-2, couldn't win a game. Hosting the AFC title game against Kansas City. Abandoned the run in that game. Abandoned the run Thanksgiving night against Cincinnati.
Sure.
Left Henry on the bench in New England game. All this. Just, you know, over and over and over again.
And one game after the next.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, official sponsor at tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide, omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. The website's incredible. The offer, the menu, everything you have to choose from, omahasteaks.com/VSiN. 3 silly turnovers in the Andrews drop against Buffalo. Turnovers when they were 14-2 and a big favorite against Tennessee. How you couldn't beat the Chiefs at home when you were favored. It's not going to happen for this guy.
Yep.
It's just, and then he plays great in the second half, and they can't get a stop.
Yep.
And then Mr. Reliable all those years, Tucker, you know, had to have his fun.
Sure.
And then you bring in Loop, and then the kid blows it from 44.
Think about the blown assignments again last night. And again, to your point, like, how does the Gainwell stuff work last night?
But it's also the luck factor that Hamilton goes out and both guys, a couple guys go out because of injuries, concussions, and then all of a sudden guys wide open and they can't stop this offense. They couldn't get a first down against Cleveland.
I did not want that. Forget about the regular season. I didn't want the fourth quarter to end in the game last night. That was absolutely exhilarating. On top of everything else, Boswell had to miss that extra point to leave it open at 26-24.
Oh, it's right there for you.
Rodgers looked like he had a B12 shot to go back to his MVP days. Now, again, think about what that's going to look like against this Texans defense compared to what he had to play last night, though. So
it should be, yeah, he should have a rough time, but getting Metcalf back is huge.
All right, we're going to update awards numbers coming up next. Very strong opinions out there on the MVP. I will say this, Matthew Stafford became the second quarterback in the last 50 years to accomplish this, and some other numbers that say he has to win the award. That's coming up next here on VSiN.